Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. And when you find it, shout praise the Lord. It's on your screen for your convenience, but it's always, always important to have the Word of God with you. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, beware. Everybody say beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Look at verse 9. For in Him, everybody say in Him, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete. Everybody say complete. You are complete in God. Now look at the next part, which is the head of all principality and power. How many is grateful this evening that we serve Christ, a risen Savior that is in control of all things, all matter, and I'm grateful for that. So we're going to continue with our study. We only have tonight and then two more to go, and we'll be finished with this, and I have direction where we're headed to next, but we're just so thankful for this time that God has given us to study the prophetic truths about the Hebrew alphabet. We'll be talking about Resh tonight. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for this privilege we have to be in Your house. Let Your Word go forth in power and demonstration of Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Oh, so let's kind of recap, because it's been a couple of weeks since we talked about our last letter. We talked about the letter Kof, which is the 19th letter. Kof literally means the back of the head. So everybody take your hand and put it on the back of your head. That's what Kof is. It's the back of your head. And so we learned that the first prophetic truth of Kof is this, is the cerebellum. And the cerebellum is simply the part of the brain that is responsible for coordinating movement, balance, and posture. And so if you look in the book of Proverbs chapter 11 verse 1, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Also, Proverbs 20 and verse 23 says, divers weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good. So what is a false balance? And so we said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we said a false balance simply means walking dishonestly. We're not walking in truth. We're walking in mendacious ways. And so I believe what one of the strategies of the enemy is to knock us off balance. If anybody has any experience, yeah, any say-so about staying on balance, it's me. I know what it's like to have a life off balance. But this is not necessarily being dizzy is what God is talking about. What He's talking about is getting our lives off course. There's things that can happen to us that if we are not cautious, we can allow them to come into us, to our lives, we can come in agreement with, that is not of God. We can come in an agreement with things that are of the devil. And so we have to be very cautious that it does not move us away from God's destiny for our life. And so things happen, and I realize that can knock us off balance. And there's nothing more frustrating. There is. There's nothing more frustrating than being off balance. It truly is such a challenge just to stay on course in these last days. The second prophetic truth about Kof is behind. Everybody say behind. I like what Paul writes to Philippi, and he says in Philippians 3 and 13, he says, brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended. That word apprehended actually means to be arrested. But he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we said that a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there talking about the things that are behind. But there's things that we need to remember, and there's things that we need to forget. And there's some things that God tells us to remember the former things. And then He tells us, well, there's some things that you just don't need to hold on to, and you need to forget. And we went through a list of that last time we met. But tonight, we're talking about this next letter, the Hebrew letter Resh. And I love this. I want to read the scripture to you one more time because I want you to see what is being said. This is probably one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Man, this is incredible to think of. That Brother Dale, there is the temptation. There is the doctrines of devil, as the Apostle Paul puts it, where he wants to try to do everything he can to try to bring confusion in the house of God. Listen, I want to be near the truth. I want to be at the doorstep of truth. It doesn't matter who's preaching it. The person could be, 80 years old. That's fine. As long as that person is preaching the truth, that's what I want to hear. I'm not all wrapped up in hearing about people's information and all these different things that they have, what they think is going to happen in these last days. I want to know what God's Word says about it. And so it's important that we follow the truth, and our Word tells us to follow on to know Him. And so here we have resh, and I know it's a little tiny, but R-E-S-H. You can also spell it R-E-Y-S-H, but we use it this way, R-E-S-H. This is the modern print of the letter resh. If you notice, there's a lot of similarity in a lot of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. If you were in the pre-Canaanite days, this is what it would look like. Now, this is to kind of to symbolize a head. That's what it was supposed to symbolize. If you were in Moses' day, resh would look like that. And then in King David's day, it would look similar to this. Resh being the 20th letter. We have 21, and then we have 22, and then we will be finished. And I failed to mention, but if you have your old King James Bible and some of many of the prints and the older versions of the Bible, they'll have in Psalms division 119, it's broken up in divisions. And over certain parts of the every few verses, there's a letter, and it would be resh for 119. It would be verses 153 through 160. If you have the old Bibles, you will see that. And so this is incredible. I love this one because only God can orchestrate, and you hear me say this all the time, the letters in sequence the way He does. I mean, it's amazing the way He calculates things, I like the word calibrate, the way God calibrates things. It's almost like sprockets or bearings or whatever it is, and you put it in a mechanical system, and it's like the little wheel, as Ezekiel talked about, the little wheel inside of the big wheel, and one moves another one, and that's the way God's Word works, especially when it comes to the alphabet. And so the resh, this word, this letter, resh, it literally means the head. And Macy did a great job of drawing the head. Now, I'm not for sure who that is, but that's the head. Now, this is what is incredible. We talked about kof, which is the back of the head, but here the very next letter, resh, is the front of the head. So take your hand and put it on the front of your head. Isn't it amazing how God designed the alphabet, or the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, in such a way? And so it literally means the head. It also means the supreme, the first, or the sum. And so the first prophetic truth that we're going to learn today of this letter resh is the frontal lobe. And I wanted to, I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be a doctor. I don't know nothing much about medicine, except I'm supposed to take it, at 8 o'clock at night. And that's just about it. That's the only thing I know when it comes to medicine. But I found this interesting because you have kof is the back of the head, the cerebellum. Now you have the frontal lobe. So the first prophetic truth of the letter resh is the frontal lobe. What is the frontal lobe? Well, here it is. The frontal lobe is the largest of the brain's lobes. And notice what it is. Some of you know this. It is crucial for higher cognitive functions, including personality, decision-making, planning, problem-solving, voluntary movement, and language. So important that God designs this. God creates this. And He knows how important it is to have your head covered. Let me show you. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And take the helmet." Everybody say helmet. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, it's no accident, Brother Dale, and I know you've taught on this many times. I've taught on this many times. But it's no accident that the helmet and the sword are mentioned together. It's no accident. The way God brought this together is so important. So we have to do whatever we can do to protect our mind. The devil wants to steal, to kill, to destroy. He wants to enter into our mind, and he does it through vain imaginations. He does it through fantasy. He does it through our ears by lying, bringing deception. And he tries to trick us and ensnare us. And he has us imagine all these horrible things with fear and all these horrible things in our mind. And the mind, I know Joyce Meyer's written it and many people have preached on it, but the mind is a battlefield. And the devil wants to do everything to do, cause distraction in your mind. So it's important to wear the helmet of salvation. Let's look at the second prophetic truth about Resh. The second prophetic truth about Resh is the beginning of. Everybody say the beginning of. This is really fascinating to me. Because, you know, I follow the Feast of Israel. And we had a Messianic service on Saturdays on Shabbat. And we did it all the time. I loved it. It was one of my favorite services of all time. We did it for a few years. But I learned something when I was doing these Messianic service. I learned something about Resh and about the beginning of. I learned something about the feast. We have just left. We're in these high holy days, but we had just left Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah, you can pronounce it either way, it literally means the head or the beginning of the year. So the Jews, or Messianic Jews and Jews alike, they just celebrated what they would call the New Year, the Jewish New Year. And so Rosh or Resh, it comes from that, the beginning of the year. And so if you look in the book of Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, let me give you the scriptural evidence of this. Because sometimes people say, well, you're just making this up. You're just following Judaism. No, this is what the word says. It says, the month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Everybody say beginning. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So this is what God described and, you know, actually kind of told, ordained for Moses to follow. And during the Feast of Rosh Hashanah is a time, and I love this, think about the head now, think about the mind, think about your cognitive abilities, your emotions, making good decisions. Think about that in terms of what happens during Rosh Hashanah. It is a time of seeking forgiveness of our sins from others and then from God. It's a time of making things right. And it starts here. And this is so good. This is so beneficial for us. I think sometimes when we look at the beginning of things, let me just say it like this. One of the best advices I ever received as a young man, I was dating, we were just engaged. Pastor Crystal and I, and we met with a couple that we just loved. Oh, we loved them so much. And they were older, way older than us. They had grown children. And he said something to me that really helped me out. He said, never be afraid to start over. Never be afraid to start over, to start fresh. And when we think of the beginning of things, we think, oh, no, I got to start over. I have this gift that my mother had given me a few years back. Some of you probably remember it, but I had Brother Billy Bratton. He's one of the best small engine mechanics that I know. I had him repair it for me and work on it. And he did a great job until we couldn't go any further with it, but he had it running. I was riding it around. It's just a little bitty old trail bike, and I absolutely love it. But because it wasn't running, I had to put it away, and we didn't have enough room in the garage, so I covered it in a tarp. And then over the last few years, you know, COVID and everything else that's been going on, it just got all dirty, and paint dripped on it from our deck and different things like that, and our tarp got destroyed. And so I decided a couple of weeks ago that, you know, I'm going to get that out, and I'm just going to start fresh with it, the beginning of, start over with it. And it's a lot of work. But it's a project. It's something that I can do, that I can be busy about doing. And I look at it and I could say one or two things. I could say, oh, just forget it. I just want to roll it away and give it to Billy and say, here, you take it. Or I could say, you know what? This is a gift from my mother and I'm going to do my best to try to, you know, restore it and get it looking nice and, you know, be able to ride it one day. That is what I described to you just now is a way of life for some, a lot of people. There's people who've been through divorce. There's been people who've been through loss of loved ones. There's been people through that's went through seasons of their life with jobs changes. Some going out of, you know, getting out of high school, going into college. You know, it goes on and on. And we can talk about all the dynamics that are involved in that. But the fear is the beginning. It's small, and it looks like it's not going to be impactful. It's not going to be fruitful. It's, why do I have to start over? It's just going to be so difficult. But let me show you a scripture out of the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10 says this, "For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth." Look at your neighbor and say, hey neighbor, never despise small beginnings. Don't despise it. Don't allow just having to start fresh in the beginning, a new beginning in your life. Don't allow that to cripple your faith. Know that, hey, God's got something great. I'm reading this book, and I read a chapter this afternoon right before service, and I love what he said. He said, before there's a new chapter written, the old chapter has to be written. Before you start a new chapter, you have to finish the old chapter. And he said, sometimes, you know, the seasons of life, they're not finished. We've not finished it. We've not put a period there. We've put a comma there. We've put a semicolon there. And we're just like, you know, I just want to keep on. And we can't live in the past. We must move forward. You believe that? Say amen. So I think one of the most important celebrations of Rosh Hashanah is this blessing that they say. It's a Hebrew blessing, and I want to read this to you. It's a blessing that they say in the new year, and I'm going to say it in Hebrew, but then I'm going to say it in English. It is Lashana Tova Tik Tevu Vet Shanemu, and then it says this. It says, "May you be inscribed and sealed for a good year." Man, that's awesome. That's how I want my life every day. Because when we wake up, we should wake up with that scripture that says, "The mercies of the Lord are new every morning." How many love fall mornings? Good, crisp, fall, cool fall morning. You take your coffee, if you drink coffee, maybe some of you drink tea or orange juice, and just go out onto your veranda, your deck, whatever it is, and just sit there and just take it all in and enjoy life. That's what I want. I want God to inscribe every day. I want my life to be sealed, and I want it to be sealed for His glory to bring good years in my life. So how do I apply this to my life? So what, now what? How can I make this message, prophetic truths about the Hebrew alphabet, this letter resh, how can I make it count for life? Well, as we've been teaching, and I know it sounds redundant sometimes, but the best way to make true and pure application of this message is to view the Hebrew letter resh in its ancient form to proclaim its biblical truth. Hang on your little head, Pastor Crystal. Back up. Got a ways to go. So we're using a pictograph, and we've been using pictographs for all of these letters. And a pictograph is simply a symbol or sign for a letter or a word. Now, as we've been saying, the Hebrew word pictures do not replace, they do not define or limit Scripture. All we're doing when we use these pictures is to simply illustrate the Scripture. And so the pictograph of Resh is the picture of a head, which is the symbol of a person, what is the highest and what is the most important. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ is. He's the head. When you look at Resh, Resh actually has the letter value of 200, and I think that was interesting. But look at our scripture one more time. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. It said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, after and not after Christ." And so what is happening here? The Apostle Paul is warning Colossia that, hey, their devil is coming and he's sending darts, vain imaginations, fear, deception into your mind. He says, beware of these things. Beware of these things. Listen, I'll be honest with you. the enemy will use any type of propaganda, any type of deceit to try to twist God's word. That is so true. He'll do everything in his power to try to convince you that God is not, that his word is not true. He will say, well, you know, that scripture that Pastor JC preached on the other day, that was for them way back then. That's not for today. The devil is a liar. God's word is fresh and new every day. And his word does not change. And I'm grateful for that. And so what we have, Brother Dale, is we have churches that are trying to evolve to fit the lifestyle of people. When that should never happen. God's word should challenge the lifestyles of people and say, your life should revolve around God's word. Can everybody say amen? Amen. I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, or this evening, sorry. It says, for in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Christ. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Brother Dale and I had a discussion this evening, about walking in authority. We should always understand we're the head and not the tail. We should walk in authority. Walk in authority of our Savior. So this is how I believe what God is telling us. Now you can put this up there. God is telling us this. Get our head straight. Have you ever had to just have a reset? You ever just had to get away and just get your head straight? Have a reset? Has there ever been a time in your life when you just needed, I just needed to clear my head, right? I used to, I know, bringing my mother up, but I used to listen to my mom sometimes. She's like, y'all get out of here. And I'm like, why? I mean, you're having fun. She's like, no, everybody get out of here. Clear the room. And I'm wondering, what do you want us to clear? Now I know why she wanted us to clear the room. So she could just get her head straight and think and you know, meditate on God. I had one of those days in my life where I had to have a reset. And I told you this, I think, before, but one night God spoke a verse to me. I couldn't sleep. I was going through so much, just thinking over and over everything I was going through. And God spoke a verse to me, and I just rehearsed that verse over and over in my mind until finally the peace of God took over. I just sat there and I dwell on that scripture. I mean, I just kept saying it over and over again until absolutely there's peace. That's all it was is peace. Here's that scripture, Isaiah 26:3. It's on your screen. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Rosh. Your mind is stayed. That word stayed means tense staked. We would call it cemented in, tense staked on God's word, on him. Perfect peace. 1 Corinthians 2:16, also on your screen, says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Man, this is amazing scriptures. And one of my favorite, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Man, this is beautiful. So what if we all determine then tonight, I'm going to get my head straight. Just going to get my head straight. And it may be a reset. I heard a pastor this morning when I was outside doing some work. I heard a pastor talk about this, how important it is. He was counseling somebody, and he said, this is what you have to do. You've got to get your head straight. You've got to pray. You've got to just seek the Lord and get your mind on God and on His Word. And that is, I really believe that is the power that God gives us, the authority that we can have if we will take that and run with it. Let's stand together, all in this room. You're could be here tonight, and you may have a, you may be fighting a spirit of fear. You have authority. You can tell the devil right now, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. You have the authority to take that and take your stand. You may be here and your mind is lazy. It just wanders on everything. You can't focus. You're always thinking of something. You're easily distracted. We, Brother Dale, I really believe that there's a generation today of people who are so distracted. And I think a lot of it has to do with the technology. You know, they're scrolling, constantly scrolling. The mind loves to scroll. And so then you develop a habit of scrolling. And you scroll from one video to another video. You scroll to one recipe to another recipe. You scroll to one thing to another thing. You're constantly scrolling. Your mind develops a habit from scrolling. And then that's what your mind does. You're just scrolling. Always going from one thing to another thing and never truly focused. But I believe God wants us to get our head straight. Take back our cognitive abilities, the reasoning, the ability to make good decisions, the ability to remember, the ability to think straight, think wholly, not fall into fantasy life, but to fall into God's word and follow Him. How many could say, yeah, that's what I want. I want God to give me the ability, a great reset in my head and my thinking. Help me think straight. Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, we thank You for the power of Your word. We all stand here. We're not victimless. Every one of us, we battle. There's a battle in our mind. Give us the strength, Lord. Help us to recall this word. Help us, Father, to take authority in everything that we do and say. And realize that, God, we are the head and not the tail. And we do not have to be a victim, but we are victorious. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. Let's lift our hands toward heaven. Sarah Arianna Koning, blessing.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.